I want to encourage everyone here in the sanctuary, those watching online or listening on the radio as well, grab your Bible this morning as we're turning over to the Gospel of John, John chapter 16, continuing our study of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We've learned that the Holy Spirit's given us new life. He's regenerated us. Praise God, He comes and dwells in us. Praise the Lord, that power of the Almighty God, that glorious God, dwells within every blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ this morning. He convicts us of righteousness and sin and judgment. And today we're going to discover He convinces us of the truth. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Now let me ask you a question, if you're honest this morning, turning over to John 16. Has there ever been a time when you've taken your Bible and you've opened it up and you've tried to read it, and maybe you've got a difficult decision, you're trying to find some truth, some wisdom, some guidance, some direction, and you read it and it's just like you've just hit a wall. Nothing comes off. No understanding. You don't understand what the Bible is saying at that moment. I don't know about you, but listen, I've got a PhD, and I can tell you there's many times I open the Word of God and I say, what did I just read? What is God saying? Now, we love the Word of God. We're good Baptists, okay? We love the book. We're a people of the book. We believe this is the Word of God. God, whenever we open the Bible, God speaks. We believe that. Sometimes, I don't know about you, I open my Bible and I just want to say this. God, speak to me. I need to hear from you. I need to understand a decision I need to make to guide me in life. Lord, I need you to guide me into the truth, to teach me. And sadly, sometimes we treat the Bible like it's merely a textbook that you can master, that you can use your intellectual grit, you can use your word studies, your study notes in your Bible, and figure it out. And the reality is this, book is supernatural, all right? It is inspired. We focused on this back in January. This word is inspired by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit that inspired what you and I see on the pages is now we need the Spirit to illumine us to understand what God is saying. And here's the amazing thing. Scripture teaches us and shows us that God hasn't left us out here just to figure it out on our own. But what we're going to read today is the understanding that God has given every single one of us a master teacher to dwell within us. It's the ministering Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that convinces us of the truth. There's two primary passages I want to focus on this morning. The first one's here in John chapter 16. The second one's also written by the Apostle John over in his first epistle, 1 John chapter 2. And what's fascinating is in this gospel and in his epistle, he's telling you and telling me that the Spirit of God is our ultimate guide for the truth. He's the one that helps to guard the truth against the lies. He will ground you in the truth, and that truth will always glorify Jesus. Now, these are critical truths, essential truths that you and I need, because I don't know about you, but there's going to be an event this week or in the next month in your life where you're going to say, God, I need you to help me. I need some direction. Listen, this isn't just for the young people, okay? All right, because if you think you've arrived, beloved, you can't be taught. All right? We don't want to get to that point. All of us, when we're making life's decisions, and that's every day, I need God to speak to me. I believe it's the Word. I believe it's sufficient for me. I believe it's infallible. It won't lead me the wrong way. The Spirit is the one that ensures you and I understand that right way and guides us there. And so I have to understand this truth today. I need God's master teacher to be the rabbi that teaches me. You know, that's what the disciples called Jesus. Rabboni, rabbi. They called him their teacher. They followed him for 3+ years, right? Teaching them, instructing them. You say, man, if I was walking with Jesus, I'd probably be a better disciple of Christ myself. Beloved, the Spirit of God dwells within you. You can't make that excuse if I just had Jesus. No. God's Spirit dwells within us to guide us into all truth. Praise the Lord. I don't have to walk right beside him. He's walking inside of me. And so what is important to understand this truth, it radically changes what happens tomorrow morning as you go through, you get up to go through life and begin navigating life saying, I need the Spirit of God to guide me. So if you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, I'm going to read here in John 16. And just mark this place. We'll read in 1 John 2 a little bit later. But I'm just going to read five verses this morning here in verse 12. Notice what Jesus says. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So Spirit, that's our prayer this morning. You're our teacher. Father, it's not me that's going to be the instructor here. May your Spirit dwell within me and guide your people, your sheep, to all the truth. Convince us of these things, Lord. Let them become foundational for us, convictions for us, because we've heard God speak and the Spirit has applied it to our hearts. So, Lord, as we navigate life and have to make a hard decision this week, it'll be quite easy because you know what? We're standing on your truth. Your Spirit of truth has guided us, and we don't have to waver. Lord, we can be confident in that. And Lord, even for those right now, Lord, that maybe have to make an important decision. Maybe they've opened the word and they've wrestled. And Lord, it still seems like nothing's coming off the pages. Lord, I pray that your Spirit will give understanding today and guide them and give them the truth that they need, Lord, so that they can take the next step of faith. We love you. We praise you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Now, as you find your seat, I want to encourage you to keep your Bible open. This word is a mirror, right? It's a mirror in our lives, and all of us stand in need of seeing what's in the mirror so that God can teach us and instruct us. We're all in his school of learning. I know school's out for the summer, right? And all the kids are enjoying it, and the parents are already pulling their hair out 2 weeks, right? Amen. I was looking for the amen there. All right. Here's the reality. We're all in the school of life every day. Every day we are growing, developing, maturing in the lessons of life. The wise man who fears the Lord is a teachable man, a teachable woman, a teachable person. They're always desiring to learn more, to know more, because what they realize is they've not taken that position of a scoffer who knows better than God and doesn't really need any instruction anymore. And so as we open the word, we all open it, realizing there's something for me to glean in this word today. There's a nugget that I need as I navigate life. Now here's the exciting thing. Listen, we're the covenant people of God. We're under the new covenant. And God's promise when he gave the new covenant was this. He said, I'm going to put two things into the people that are my people in the new covenant. One, he said, I'm going to put my word inside of them. That's this book. He wants to chisel it, listen, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of our heart. He wants to chisel it there. And to understand that word, he said, here's what I'm also going to do. I'm going to put my Spirit within them. Amazing. This has been fulfilled as the covenant people of God, the new covenant people of God. God's Spirit that inspired this word that now is to be written on your heart and my heart, that Spirit dwells within us to guide us into all truth. That is his work now. He convinces us of the truth. He is guiding us into the truth. Jesus is speaking, of course, here to his disciples. He's telling them some things the night before his crucifixion. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to be handed over. He's about to go through his trial and the innocent suffering and dying for you and for me. And he says, I still have many things that I want to say with you, but you can't bear them now. You can't. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. You see, it's amazing, the shepherd's concern for his sheep, his tenderness as a pastor of his flock there. I've got many things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Literally, that word is you can't bear the heavy weight. It's a heavy weight for you. Well, he hasn't died yet. They're trying to understand what's about to happen. They can't understand the full weight and significance of that until he's died, been buried, and raised to life. Then the Spirit will help them and help them to understand. That's what he meant when he taught that parable. That's what he meant when he taught that truth. And so the Spirit, Jesus says, is going to come and help us in our limitations of what we can't bear and help us to understand that load so that, you know what, we can realize I don't have to carry that. He does. And I can give it to him. He knows our frame. He knows our limitations. And the amazing thing is he has accommodated himself to give us his Spirit so we can know the mind of God. Paul would say this over in the book of Corinthians. Who can know the mind of God? Can any man? I mean, we're carnal. We're fleshly. It's the Spirit of God who helps us to know the mind of God. I need the Spirit of God to help me understand the Word of God so I can know God's will for my life and I can flesh it out. And so the Spirit comes. Now notice this. He says he will guide you into all truth. You might want to circle that in your Bible. Why? Because you understand this. The Spirit doesn't come and pull you by the back of your neck and say, come this way. You're going to learn. I'm going to teach you. No. He guides you. What's a guide? A guide is someone who goes before you. A guide who says, I know the way. Follow me. This is the way you need to go. Hey, if you go on a tour somewhere, or perhaps you travel around the world, you go to a great city and go on a tour. You know, when we used to go to Romania, we'd fly into Budapest there, and we'd take a tour of the city and witness on the buses as we were going around the city and the different people that we'd see during the while our time was there. We had someone, we had a tour. It was actually a guided tour. And they said, this is what this building is. And this is what this is over here. And this is why this is prominent here in this city. That's what a guide does. They don't create the landscape. They point out the things in the landscape. Now, here's the thing in life. The landscape of life, you're trying to figure out, well, what does this mean? What's this mountain that's standing before me? I don't understand it. The Spirit of God will guide you and help you to understand it in time. And he'll give you the words that you and I need to take the right steps to navigate around that landscape. I need that wisdom from God every day to guide me into all truth. He's not going to drag us. He wants you and I to have a willing spirit to be yielded to his truth. He's going to illumine that path. This word is a light. It's a lamp, right? Psalm 119. The word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. The lamp illumines the steps, right? For my feet. What's the next step that I need to take? What's the next step? Don't step off the platform, Pastor Chris, all right? You've been gone for a while, right? All right? What's the light for the path? What's the general direction I need to go? The word is illumining. The Spirit helps us to know that's what this means. Go in that direction. Take this next step. Now, he guides us in this way. Now, the question there is, am I teachable? Are you teachable this morning? Am I willing to be guided into the truth? I have to be submissive and surrendered. Now, notice this. He guides us into all truth. And that's an interesting question. What is truth? I mean, Pilate will ask that in Jesus' trial. What is truth? I mean, we live in a culture today. What is truth? I mean, I guess that's my own truth, right? Well, no, that's not true. No, all truth is God's truth. Truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said that actually over in chapter 14 in this extended discussion he's having with his disciples. If you want to find truth, you need to focus on Christ. And in order to focus on Christ, I need to focus on his word. The Spirit is not going to speak on his own authority. He is going to tell us the truth about Christ. He's going to tell us the truth about Christ because, you see, if you and I see Jesus, we've seen the Father, and we'll know the Father's will by looking at Jesus. And it's the Spirit who helps us to look at Jesus. And so when I need direction in life, Shepherd, what's the path of righteousness? Where are you guiding me? I've got to make a major decision. Lady Wisdom is standing there speaking. Am I willing to listen? Am I teachable? Am I yielded, submissive to what God? Or, listen, it's possible. You can scoff and say, I know better. I know better than God. I know what I need to do. Man, I've done that plenty of times in life. That's foolish, right? In fact, that's my favorite Hebrew word, especially to teach the children. To despise is that Hebrew word buzz. I know better than God. And let's be honest, we've done that in this room many times. Man, he's so merciful and gracious, though. When we come to our senses and realize that was stupid, right? I shouldn't have done that. Now, don't get mad at me for saying stupid, mom and dad. It was in the proverb yesterday, for the proverb for today, all right? He who doesn't listen to correction is stupid, all right? God's Spirit convicts us. We learned that last week. When we don't listen, when we don't understand, when we don't believe what God says, and he convinces us, you need to listen, and you need to go in this direction, because the Spirit is guiding us into the truth. Now, here's the amazing thing. The Holy Spirit will never tell us anything contrary to this book. Don't come to me and say, I think God's Spirit is inclining me to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. All right? He will never, ever do that. Why? Because truth doesn't change. Truth is consistent. Truth is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because, listen, every day, if you have changing truth, that's not truth. It's nothing you can build your life upon. The Spirit of God will always say what is consistent with this word. And so don't say, well, the Spirit says this, and clearly in the Word of God it says contrary to that. That is not the Spirit guiding you into all truth. Now notice this. When the Spirit guides us in that truth, the Spirit will glorify the truth. Now, the truth, of course, is tied to Christ, and that's what he says here. Listen, your life, when you and I walk in the truth, you know where we bring glory and honor to? Jesus. We're being like Christ, his disciples, following him, taking those steps of faith in the path that he would lead us on, just as the disciples followed him. Sometimes Peter put his foot in his mouth and had to come to his senses. Praise God, we do too, right? But when I'm willing to listen to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God will glorify the truth, Christ. And that truth, listen, will glorify and illumine your life and my life as well. When I'm willing to listen, he will glorify me. Notice verse 14 and 15. He will glorify me. Why? He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father have are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit, listen, is like a spotlight. The great theologian J.I. Packer said it this way. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is a floodlight ministry. Some of y'all on your homes, right? You drive through your neighborhood at night and you look at the homes and you notice they got those floodlights that kind of, they're on the ground and they're flooding up, right? Illuminating the building, right? Or if you go to Budapest, I mean, they have some magnificent buildings, and you go on the night tour, and you see the lights just shining, and you're like, "What? That's just beautiful." Now, the point is this: Packer says, "Listen, you and I, this floodlight ministry that the Spirit of God has. When you go and look at the building, you're not looking down on the ground at the light. Well, that's an interesting light. No. You're looking at the building, and so the Spirit doesn't want you and I to look at him." He wants us to look at who? Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Spirit is pointing at Christ, illuminating Christ. He doesn't do anything on his own. He's not some rogue member of the Trinity. I'm going to do my own thing. No, they're all working together to glorify Christ so that you and I can see the Father and know what it means to be one of his children and to live in the glorious presence of him each and every day, because his glorious presence dwells within us. Just as, listen, in the Old Testament, what do we know? In the tabernacle, in the temple, where was God's presence? In the temple, in the Holy of Holies. Now, he dwells within us. And that glorious presence illumines our lives. And he wants to illumine from us, listen, so that we can take the right steps. Now, this is illumination, not revelation. The Spirit inspired this book. He wrote down, he gave us everything we needed to know. All right? He's not giving us new truths. We've got all the truth we need right here. In fact, what's fascinating to me is it says he will take and he will speak. Whatever he hears, he will speak. He'll tell you even things to come. Well, I wonder what that is. Well, what's amazing is John, who recorded this, gave us the epistle. He gave us three epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, right? Now, over there, we're going to see in just a moment what the Spirit does with the truth. But he also told us what's to come in the fifth book he wrote, which is called what? Revelation. It's the revelation, not of the end times, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, who in the end times, praise God, he's our triumphant king. Praise the Lord, he's coming to establish his kingdom upon this earth. Praise the Lord, he's going to judge all the wickedness, so you better get your life right. The Spirit doesn't, he will reveal. Now, this is the work of revelation. Revelation reveals something new. Illumination opens our eyes, removes the blinders so we can, I see now. I see what this means. And I can apply this truth in my life. So when I read in the Old Testament or something in the New Testament, Paul's letters to the Romans or to the Ephesians, or I'm reading Peter's epistles, any of those epistles, here's the amazing thing. I can read that, and when my heart sees, I never saw that before. That's the Spirit of God teaching you and teaching me to understand that. You know what's fascinating? Do you remember when Peter made his great confession? And you remember he asked that question? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Well, some say, you're like Elijah or a prophet. But Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he said, very good, Peter. And guess what? You didn't come up with that. The Father informed you of that. How did he do that? By the Spirit of God. Opened Peter's mind to understand. Here's what's standing right before. Did Peter understand it completely? No, because shortly after that, Jesus explained what that meant and what he was going to do as the Messiah, that he was going to have to die. And Peter said, Lord, that's not part of the plan. Jesus told him, Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't understand the things of God. You and I need the Spirit of God, just like Peter did, to make the great confession, to understand who Christ is and what Christ has done, and the significance of that, not just for his death on the cross for you and for me, but for living every day of every life. And this truth that I need to understand, it will always be centered on Christ and glorify him. So listen, if you are telling me the Spirit of God is telling you to do something, and I'm saying this is what the Spirit's telling me to do, and it doesn't bring glory to Christ, then I'm going to question it. I'm going to say, I'm not sure. If it's not consistent with the truth or one that glorifies the truth, then I need to stop and say, hold on a second. Is this the Spirit of God? Why? Well, hold your place here and turn with me over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, over here, where John writes in his epistle. And of course, John is writing, and he's writing and explaining in some ways how you can know that you are saved, have that confidence, that assurance. But he's also writing because he wants to help the church to be on guard, and specifically to be on guard because there's a group who thought they had some secret higher knowledge. They weren't just regular Christians, okay? You have to have this secret higher knowledge. And in writing to them, he says to them, look, notice in chapter 2, verse 24, now, therefore, let that abide in you which you've heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you'll also abide in the Son and in the Father. What is that which abides? That's the Word, okay? This is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Now notice this. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, false teachers. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. What is this anointing that we've received? What is this anointing that protects us? Well, listen, the Spirit of God has anointed us and blessed us. Beloved, praise God, we are now anointed by God, sealed by the Spirit of God. His Spirit dwells within us. You know, in the Old Testament, when you read there, it was kings and prophets and priests. They were anointed. And when they were anointed, they're identified as key people, right, for positions and things that had to happen. This anointing, this charisma, John says, that comes, it comes upon every newborn believer. All right, the anointing is the Spirit of God himself who comes to dwell within us. Now, that anointing abides in us. Beloved, listen. You and I don't get a little bit of it today and a little bit more tomorrow. We got all of it right now. Praise the Lord. And every day, we have all of him. Not a little bit. We have all of him. And as a result of that, John says, listen, you don't, because you've been anointed and blessed by God, when deception comes, you don't need a teacher to teach you. Now, don't miss that point. That's not, well, I don't need a preacher anymore. Sorry, Pastor Chris, you came back from sabbatical. You can go back, all right? No, that's not what he's saying, because God has gifted some to be pastor teachers. He's gifted some to guide and to feed his sheep. Why would he give Peter that responsibility? Feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Take care of my little lambs, feed them. No. Here's the point. The point is, listen, we all have things we can learn from those who've gone a little bit further down the path. Amen? Don't ever get to that point and say, that's not me. No, be teachable, but understand it's the Spirit within me who will confirm and help me understand this truth. I don't need to be in some secret elect special group so that I can get some secret knowledge about who God is and what he's like. Beloved, all you and I actually need is this book right here and a humble spirit, a teachable spirit that relies on the Spirit of God to guide us into all truth. And just maybe a humble prayer that we pray, like the psalmist prayed, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in thy law. I mean, that's a prayer I pray frequently from Psalm 119. God, open my eyes that I might see wonderful things in thy law. God, I'm thick-skulled. I have a hard head. I don't get it the first time. And I'll read and reread. And read again. And God, give me understanding. Your Spirit dwells within me. You're the one that gives me the capacity to understand this truth, to discern this truth. And it's that truth that gives me the plumb line. Remember when we studied the doctrine of Revelation? It was the doctrine of Revelation when we talked about its inspiration and its inerrancy. Listen, it was that word, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that gives us a word which is doctrine. It gives us the plumb line. The Spirit helps us to realize when I'm on the wrong side, not on the right side, but on the wrong side. And it rebukes us, and then it corrects us, says you need to get on the right side. And then it instructs us in righteousness. That master teacher is with you and me wherever we go. Now, does that mean I shouldn't at times maybe study some study notes? Or if I have Pastor Chris, does this sound right? Pastor Scott, does this sound right? Yes, avail yourself of that. You'd be foolish not to. But understand, really it's confirming, yeah, you're right. Keep going in the way. I might read this a little more clearly. That's just someone who's walked a little further down the pathway and can help instruct us. I do that all the time. It's why I study and read commentaries and see what others' insights they have from the Word of God that the Spirit of God has given to them. So that, you know what? So I can walk a little bit closer to the truth, a little bit more in the light, and enjoy the fullness of what God has taught. Now see, here's the question. Am I allowing this master teacher to instruct us? Remember, all of life is a classroom. We're all learning. And none of us has it figured out, all right? Completely. Well, yeah, we know some things. And sometimes, you know what? I have to learn that lesson again. That's just a kick in the britches, to be honest with you, right? Who's going to help me? The Spirit of God. I have to ask myself that honest question. Do I cultivate that desire within my heart when I open the Word? God, I want you to speak to me. Sometimes, listen, it's easy to open your Bible and have your quiet time and just highlight verses and not really intentionally be saying, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Pastors can do it too. It's easy. You're getting that routine. I read my 5 chapters today. Maybe instead of reading 5 chapters, I need to be a little still, a little patient, and say, you know what, I really only need to read five verses. I just really need to hear God speak. There's no set chapter or verses to intake every day. I have a routine that I go through every day and walk through. Of course, I read the Proverbs for the day always. And I may focus on one of that chapter, one particular proverb for some wisdom for the day. But I want to hear God speak. What is the truth, the nugget that I need for today to illumine my path, to guide my steps? God, I've got a really hard decision. I need you to speak to me. I need to understand this decision. Don't rush. Listen, we are in this society that's just going, man, I've learned that this past couple. We're going 90 miles an hour and we're going nowhere, right? No, I want to go with intentionality because I've heard what God has to say. And so, sometimes that's why it's important. Have a journal or a little note sheet. And all you do, Spirit, what truth did you guide me in today? Did I learn a truth about who God is? Write it down. Praise him for it. Thank him. Thank him for what? Man, I'm grateful my God is truth and he's not a lie. Man, I can praise him today for that. God, you are building me in the truth. Maybe the truth is, you know what? I learned that I need to be teachable. I need to slow down and be willing to listen because there might be something I need to know. Write that down. Maybe that's a truth that I need to repent of. Maybe it's a truth. By the way, God's desire is that all people come to the knowledge of the truth, right? The Spirit facilitates that. He's given us the truth source right here. This truth source, this propositional truth, points to the person of truth, Jesus. So the Spirit of truth can help me to understand the truth. And I just need to be truthfully slow down and listen and be teachable and rely on the Spirit to give me discernment, particularly in a confusing world. I'm telling you, this world is trying to confuse the minds of children and adults. Listen, what is truth? What is truth? You can have your own truth. Beloved, you can't have your own truth. Truth is not relative. Truth is not relative to the person. Everybody can't have their own truth. If that were true, then there would not be truth. There would be no consistency. Because you know what? Truth is not personal. Truth is absolute. And it's absolutely tied to the absolute one who is God. So I need to train my spiritual ears to listen to the promptings of the Spirit of God who's going to help me when I have to make a decision. Am I living in accordance with the truth? God, you want me to come to the knowledge of the truth. That truth, listen, is going to guide me in life. It will glorify Christ. And I promise it'll be good for you and me when we listen to it. But I have to allow that master teacher to speak to me. Are you doing that today? I'm going to encourage you to bow your head for just a moment. Allow ourselves to be honest with God this morning. Maybe as a believer, listen, you've not even come to that place where the Spirit of God dwells within you because you've never said, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And I need you to guide me because I've listened to a lot of deception and a lot of lies. And I realize today I need your Spirit within me to guide me in life. That truth that the Spirit's going to guide you and show you first is this. You and I are sinners in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the only one who can save us from our sins. And if you and I are willing, listen, to surrender to him, to call on him to have mercy for us, then here's the promise. Not only will he save us from our sins, but his Spirit will now come and dwell within us and guide us every step of the way until we reach his throne in heaven. Have you done that? Has there been a time in your life where you can say, honestly, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And Jesus, I want you to be my Savior and a Lord. If you've never done that, then let me encourage you to do that today. Perhaps you have, and you know what? There's a truth that you realize today the Spirit has convicted you of, and that's why at the end of the service, we not only give you an invitation, an opportunity to respond by faith, but maybe God's Spirit has spoken to you and said, hey, here's this decision. Here's some truth that you know you're not applying in your life and you need to do that, then right now just say, God, forgive me. I want to have that teachable Spirit. I want to be yielded to your Spirit, be willing to be taught and guided. Maybe even, God, give me that hunger to hear you speak fresh and anew today and to guide me. Give me the words that I need to navigate life.